Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is Ray Ferraro. Ray, Mike Babcock fired, Sheldon Keefe hired. How do you react to that news?
Well, when the email came, I'm sure probably like everybody else, I looked at it. My first thought was, wow, can't believe they did it. Even though we've been talking about it and, gee, if things don't turn around or, gee, you should get a couple more games. For me, I was looking at the gap between the first four games of this road trip. There's a couple of day break before they go to Detroit and Buffalo. And I thought that might be the, either it's turned around or it's not by there. Just in hearing you say about taking the invitation, not only did Mike Babcock take the invitation, he 100% seemed to be the right guy at the right time, the biggest name for the biggest franchise. And you're right, there was so much that was turned, but just not turned far enough. And once the expectations grow, sometimes this is a runaway train, and something had to be done. And this is always the least complicated thing to do, is to replace the coach, because it seems like it's a virtual impossibility to make a significant player move in the middle of the season.
Ray, how similar do you think this is to this Chicago situation, where it just seemed like the GM wanted to make this move, but the roster seems similar? Like, if you look at Toronto and the Chicago situation, how similar do you think they are? And with the new coach coming into the Leafs, how much do you think he can turn this around?
You mean when Quenneville was fired?
That's right. And they brought in Colleton, yeah. And now Keefe's coming in for Babcock. Is there a chance where Keefe can actually save this and get them to the playoffs? Or how similar or not similar do you see the situations?
Well, I see it a little bit differently, only in that Joel was there for so long in Chicago that it was an easy sell to say, okay, we're going to transition into this new phase of players. We want, the guy that's been here the longest, we gave him a chance, even though it was a very short spot at the start of the year last year. And okay, we're going to move on in a different direction. This one, the expectations were different. I believe in that, they'd gotten to the playoffs. They couldn't get by Boston. And it seemed after they lost last year that, the ball started to roll downhill just a little bit, where people were saying, Babcock stubborn, Babcock can't get them over the hump. This is 2 years in a row. They've lost to the same team in the same way, in the same place. And it felt like it was going to happen in Chicago, and it kind of felt over the last couple of weeks like it was going to happen here, even though the talk was kind of whispered around in the summertime. As far as turning the team around, as much as I think I know about the way Sheldon Keefe coaches, I'm going to need to see the way that this team plays under some tweaks, a new system, maybe some different roles. I would find it hard to believe that he would be as resolute or as stubborn to play Gauthier and Shore every time there's a defensive zone face-off. Like, I just don't think that's going to happen. So that will be different. Maybe that'll be a few more minutes here and a few more minutes there, or guys moved into different positions. One thing we know for sure about Babcock is he is dug in. Like, the way he sees the lineup, the way he sees the game, that's not going to change much from game to game, month to month. And Keith will be a completely different different conductor of the band, right?
Breaking news again: Mike Babcock fired, Sheldon Keefe hired. He'll be behind the bench tomorrow night in Arizona with Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. Is there a player or two you can think of that you believe will benefit the most from a new coach?
Get the Pooley bump. Pooley calls it the bump when somebody else gets hired.
Well, I would say I don't know. I would think usually you can tell publicly who the coach, has a beef with because of the way they play him and the way that they do these, like the way that the guy plays, the role that he plays. It seems more like there's an abrasiveness around the whole team. Like everybody, I don't know. It just, were so many guys were off their top, the top of their game. I mean, I would think Tyson Barrie would be thrilled.
Right.
Not to say that, you know, him and Babcock didn't get along or anything like that, because Tyson's a pretty impossible guy not to get along with. But maybe his role will completely change. Maybe the power play will become part of his deal, because I do think it's mattered everywhere else in his game. The fact that he doesn't play any minutes on the power play except for, you know, the back 30 seconds. They've acquired the wrong player in Tyson Barrie for the way that they use him. Now, he's not helped matters, and his turnover yesterday was ghastly at the wrong time, certainly the wrong time. But I think he would be a player, you know, that I think of right away that would go, you know what, this will be a good thing. The first name I thought of was William Nylander, and I'm like, well, he already plays with Matthews. He already plays.
Right, what's he going to do differently? He's not going to fight because of a new coach.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I took that back, and Barry's the one guy in particular to me that I think his role could or maybe should change a little bit, and maybe they get more out of him.
I thought Barrie right away, because I think you can utilize him differently, but the one thing in, you know, calling games, Ray, we're around the benches all the time, like, I think there has to be some accountability. And to me, if Keith wants to establish himself, like, these guys are trying out for him. Like, when a new coach comes in, you know, regardless of whether you like the previous coach, he had his preconceived notions about it. He knew if he could trust you or not. And if you were on the right side of him, you know, this was a guy he threw out there all the time. But new coaches come in, you have to reestablish yourself with him in trusted situations. So, you know, to me, if there's some soft plays or a play that Sheldon doesn't like, I saw it in Ottawa with DJ Smith. Doesn't matter what guys make financially or anything. If he doesn't like what he sees, guys sit down. He starts mixing the blender up. To me, that's where maybe Keith comes in and says, I don't see this guy going, or William Nylander's fantastic tonight. Double shift him, double down on that, or, you know, switch things up. To me, that's where I think the change can come, is utilizing players for their strengths and especially how they're going that night.
Right, but that's what Noodles, I agree, and that's why I said earlier, like, I don't know how he runs a bench. And how you run a bench in the American League when you've got the best team, the best players, you know, the deepest roster, is going to be different than how he runs it in the National Hockey League, I would assume. I would assume it would be different. The ice time is going to be interesting for me to watch, because everything comes off the board here, right? Like, they're, you know, will the defense pair stay the same? Will they be more aggressive getting up the ice? Will those lines that have been pretty well concreted, you know, aside from the injuries, like, will they blow those up and move some people around? I mean, I don't know. Just putting a new guy in a suit behind the bench can make a lot of difference, but it's going to come back to how the players respond to whatever the tweaks are to the system. Because, look, it was an unbelievable 8 minutes last night at the end of the game. It was so fun to broadcast, and it was so fun to see the way the game just elevated. But for the most part, how many chances really did Toronto get in the game? Did they generate in that game? The answer is not very many.
No. I didn't think they played that well. I thought they were okay.
Yeah.
But breaking news this hour, Mike Babcock has been fired. Sheldon Keefe announced as the new coach.
Ray, what do you think the most important thing when he steps into the locker room? First impressions are big when you're an inexperienced guy like that, and an experienced guy has gone out the door. What do you think the first move is, or how does he approach it? Is it, like, I don't know. Just what do you say I'm the right guy?
I would say when I think about when we had a coaching change, if the new guy was organized, like if the first practice was quick and fast and organized and on time and everybody understood the drills and guys aren't standing around going, what the hell is this? Like, what are we doing? What was that drill? I don't even get it. Like, if it's organized and straightforward, I think that's a baby step of trust going towards the coach. Like, okay, this guy knows what he's doing. Now, they would have had, I would say, well, I guess everybody really would have at least one training camp with Keith around. For many of them, they've been here for more than one camp with him, so they would know him. They would know the way when he's run practices in training camp. They would know his terminology, because each coach calls the same play something different, so they'd be familiar with him. And they probably already have a sense of what he's like, but they don't know what he's like, you know, as he is the full-time boss. So to me, it would be that he's organized and ready to go and that everybody understands it. But they better all be aware that, you know, like Jamie said earlier, like everything changes. You might be the coach's favorite guy. Well, your coach isn't here anymore, so you might not be the new guy's favorite guy. And you got to be ready for uncertainty. You have to be prepared for your role to change. When Larry Pleau took over in Hartford, they fired the first coach I'd ever had was Jack Evans. And Larry took over, and he had meetings with everybody in the first 2 days. And he told me I was going to be he coached me in Binghamton in the American League. I was really excited. I'm like, man, this is great. He came in. And he said, I see you as a fourth line guy, a power play guy, you're going to be in and out of the lineup. I sat out the first six games. And I'm like, what the hell just happened here?
That's like, so exciting.
Yeah, exactly.
The bubble was burst pretty quickly. And then we had a couple injuries, and I got in the lineup, and I scored a little bit. And then the next year, I scored 40 goals. But the point is, I thought this was going to be a good thing, and it wasn't. Mm. Not initially. And so there's going to be somebody that's going to take a poke right on the nose here, and they are not seeing it coming.
With
right? they don't see it.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it goes. We look at Barry, and we look at other players,
and you know, he's got guys down in the Marlies that he's just dying to get up there because he's like, this guy could probably do a job. Hasn't got the opportunity. So,
well, you look at Pierre Engvall, who made his debut last night. He may have been thinking, I'm just holding the water until the boys come back, and maybe
Sheldon Keefe.
Maybe Keith looks at him a little bit differently.
You're right. We'll figure out who's going to get the Ray Ferraro treatment
pretty quickly.
I learned where the popcorn was. Damn fast.
Six games. That's the Brian Hayes maneuver. That was my OHL career, man. Forget popcorn. I was eating poutine, trying to sneak in beers if I could. with Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Again, breaking news this hour. Mike Babcock fired. Sheldon Keefe hired as the new coach of the Leafs. And the Leafs are all in on being progressive, being new wave. And I'll tell you what, the Leafs, at the best of times and the worst of times, they have the eyes of the league on them and the eyes of the country on them because they get so much attention. And right now they've lost six in a row. But we talked about this earlier, Ray. They're going from Lou Lamoriello and Mike Babcock to Kyle Dubas and Sheldon Keefe. 50% of their cap is tied up in four players. No one's done that before. They have turned a blind eye to physicality, size, toughness, the conventional wisdom that has surrounded this league and this game for a long time. And I guess it's Shanahan who was ultimately sold on that being the right course of action. And now they're all in.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a couple of quotes that have popped up over the last little bit. One was from Dubas, and it was online. It was like a press conference or something he was doing with season ticket holders in the Sioux, and he talked about when they fired Mike Stapleton as coach and brought in Sheldon Keefe. And he mentioned that if, you know, for this to work, everybody has to be on the same page. If one person isn't on the same page, that this system, this style, it can't work. And it was almost like foreshadowing. If you watch the clip, it was almost like he was talking about the Leafs, but it was, I don't know, however many years ago, he was talking about the Greyhounds. Like, it was eerie. The second thing was a couple of days ago, we didn't even really bring it up, but I thought it was really an odd quote, was Babcock said, you know, if my kids were younger, I wouldn't have coached in Toronto.
Yeah.
It was almost like he was, you know, he was already...
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, he knew it. It was like, you know what, this... I'm not going to put my kids through this where the pressure of being fired comes like this. And, you know, of course that can be anywhere, but I found it to be an odd quote. So now these two guys, Keith and Dubas, who have a long history together, who clearly see things the same way, are now running the show. And I guess the one thing that I've thought about with Brendan Shanahan running the whole thing is that he was a greasy, tough player. And his embracing this method has always seemed odd to me. Just that, you know, you generally think guys would see the game through the lens that they played it. Now, that doesn't have to be the case, right? Certainly not. There's lots of guys that never hit anybody that coached the toughest teams in the league, which is even funnier, I guess. But I thought there would be more grit and edge to their teams than certainly the way they're put together now.
And I think it's the right course of action. I don't know if it's going to work. It might be a complete failure. Again, through 23 games, it has been. They're 9-10-4. But if you're going to commit to Dubas and commit to his style of play and his philosophy of building a team, you've got to give him the coach.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, you've got to hand over the keys to a new coaching hire.
Yep.
And that's what they've done here. And, listen, he's used his bullet.
Yeah.
Right? We're not far into his tenure.
So tell Ray that what stage are we in right now? We're in bargaining, right?
Yeah, I went over this. Now, this might throw everything out of whack now that the head coach has been fired.
After the firing of the coach, I've been bargaining on the upside. Now,
right.
Thinking, okay, you're going to get the bump. You've got the coach that has a history with, I was counting, at least 10 or 11 guys on the roster. So he's not walking into a room where he knows the faces from TV. He knows a lot of these players and has coached them. So he's got he may have his favorites at that level, but there's some familiarity. I'm on the other side thinking, okay, they could do some damage here if Keith can get them playing the way that Kyle has envisioned.
Right.
Now, that being
said,
sets
them up to produce
and all
succeed.
Of that. That being said, I still think there's times where they get pushed out of the game because of the lack of bite in certain areas. But maybe.
But one thing can't be fixed, and Brian brought it up earlier, is they've got $40 million in four forwards.
Correct. Correct. And that's not changing.
And that to me is the underlying, like, you can say, oh, they got to change this and get a better backup goalie and do this and do that. But you only have so much money. You got $41 million once you get past your four forwards. And that's it.
Yeah.
And so that is almost unfixable. Unless somewhere along the line you trade Nylander, because the other three guys aren't going anywhere.
Yeah,
I mean, that's really the next biggest move that they could make.
Which, again, is not on Sheldon Keefe, it's on Dubas, but now Dubas will see the makeup of this team that he's built under the coach that he believes can get the most out of them.
Correct.
And that's where the focus is now going to go, directly on Dubas, outside of the players. And the players deserve the majority of it. They're playing. Mm-hmm. They get paid, and their efforts haven't been good enough. They've been flawed, but a lot of that is self-inflicted.
Yeah, they always say the last bullet is the GM or the coach. So
he's used up his bullet here.
That's right. Your bullet's gone, so go ahead. Let's see what you got.
Right. And if Keith cannot get this on the upswing and get it going here, and this isn't like you have 3 years to do it.
No.
Sheldon Keefe can't come in and say, there's pain coming.
No.
I'd find that humorous if he did,
yeah.
But I don't think he's going to do that. Everything's going to come back to Dubas. What did you build? What did you sign? Is your philosophy flawed? Is it going to work? Can it work at the NHL? We'll find out.
Well, it is fascinating times. I mean, there's nothing around the Leafs that ever goes that is, that isn't a big deal. And you had the highest profile coach in the highest profile city. And this is all that anybody will be talking about for the next little while. I mean, there's no way this doesn't ripple across the league, or more than ripple across the league today.
Well, how would you describe the Babcock era? Now, I know it's fresh, it just happened, but I don't think it was a total failure at all.
Not
I mean,
at
he
all.
Got them into the playoffs three consecutive years.
100-point seasons.
Yeah, they were...
I would say he brought credibility.
Yep.
He brought determination, organization, a big voice. The team... I'm convinced this team didn't have the plan that they... the plan that they got onto, they didn't have that when Babcock took over. Once they won the lottery, I mean, everything changed. And then all of a sudden, Tavares is an option. Like, that wasn't part of the plan. Like, things got sped up, and I don't think they were good enough for them to be sped up that fast. And ultimately, the expectations outgrew what this roster could do. And Mike couldn't find a way to get the team to start quicker. for the special teams to be better. And by the way, don't forget another thing for Kyle Dubas here is, you know, they changed out the assistant coaches this year. That, you know, that is, those are Kyle hires, right? Yeah. A lot of that went through Kyle. So the special teams under Haxtell and McFarland have been rotten. And so, you're the head of it all. And he couldn't get that last or next stage of development to continue. And he paid a price. He's still got 3 years at $6 million coming. So he's, he's going to be fine. But I'm sure today he feels really disappointed because I've known Mike for a long time. And, he's obviously, as competitive as all can be at everything that he does, and it would hurt that you couldn't get the job done.
Wouldn't you think?
I'm not terribly surprised that they came to this conclusion. Maybe a little bit early, but for my thought. But man, it's got to be brutal.
You have to think other coaches around the league are thinking, "Oh God, Mike Babcock is sitting out there." Teams that are struggling, they must be thinking.
Well, does Seattle have a coach?
No, they don't. And he would probably be that guy, that veteran guy, to go into that situation. Oh, who knows? Any team that's struggling, the coach is like, oh, God, now I'm really on watch because this guy's sitting in the waters right now.
Depends on.
Yeah, they'd all want all the. Sorry, Noodles. I was going to say, don't you think the coach is like when all the big names are tied up somewhere?
Jeez.
Yeah, they do. It depends on to the organization and how much they want to spend.
He might just take the money and the years. I don't think he's going to sit on the sideline for 3 years. That's not who he is or what he is. He's never been fired, though, at the NHL level.
No, but there, I don't think...
Did he not get fired in Anaheim?
I thought he left to take the Detroit job. I thought he just... Yeah, it was like I'm out of here kind of maneuver.
Almost, but
I don't remember. He might have been.
I don't think he coaches this season. Do you think there any chance he coaches this season?
I say he does because I think there's enough bad teams that are just looking to pull the trigger on something.
Yeah, I don't.
But he's not going to a bad team. I think if he's going anywhere, he's going to a good team that's underperforming.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll be talking about it again tomorrow.
You think so?
Chances are.
Yeah, we're here till midnight. Now,
yeah, we're going to still be on the air. It's a radio thon now.
I feel like Rupert from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. We've been on, like, we haven't had a break. And
yeah, no, I'm fine, man. I could go all night.
Oh yeah, let's fire this up.
Look over if Noodles puts a wine cork on a fork, and he'll know he's going to poke his eye out next to watch him.
We need a porta potty in here.
Yeah, well, that's next. Yeah, don't you worry. We'll set you up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll set you up. All right, buddy.
Okay, boys, we'll talk tomorrow.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. For the month of November, receive free winter tires with every in-stock new vehicle that is financed or released. Visit Maple Toyota next to WonderlandMapleToyota.com.